We still sing a song, 246, A Wonderful Savior, My King and My Lord, O Jesus, the Savior of the world. Fitting to this hymn, I would like to read a word from Exodus 33, Exodus 33, from verse 18. And Moses said, Show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before your face. And I will proclaim the Lord by name before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But he added, You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. The Lord said, Here is a place by me. You will station yourself on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. When we have sung this hymn, I suddenly had to think on this scripture. Moses, a special man of God, a pardoned man of God. He just had one wish, Lord, let me see your glory. And the Lord spoke to him, There is a rock. I will make all my goodness pass before your face, and I will place you there into this cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand. In the Old Testament, God turned his back to mankind. The Lord said, My face you cannot see. In the New Testament, we read in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, of the glory of God, which we see shine in the face of Jesus Christ. To me, it was mainly about the thought that Moses was placed into the rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. It was a rock that accompanied the people of Israel. And also about this, God's word didn't leave us in the dark. We read it in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. The rock that accompanied the people of Israel was Christ. Oh, when we can read the Holy Scripture by divine revelation, then we find the divine traces of blessing among them whom he pardoned. And I think that we in these days may be part of them who found grace with God. And as a Moses then let the cry of his soul ascend up to God with the words, perhaps I should read it. It's written in the same chapter, Exodus 33, from verse 13. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may continue to find favor in your sight. The man of God, Irenaeus, whom Brother Branham mentions a couple of times, he said literally, to whom God is merciful, him he shows the master plan and gives him the instruction, what shall be done. Moses, a man of God, he said, Lord, if I have found grace before you, then let it be known by this, that you show me your plans and your ways. Only in this way we ourselves can be placed into the plan of God and walk on His way, if we found grace in His sight and if we were introduced into His plans. Rock of ages, cleft for me, precious heart. When we now go into prayer, place yourself by faith into this rock. I could read you from the prophet Isaiah the place, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and on the cleft from which you were taken out. There were already men of God in the Old Testament who have seen the things in advance in reference to the plan of salvation, and then they passed it on. Let us now stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for the great privilege to live in this generation, to have open eyes and an understanding for that what you are doing now. Almighty God, as you had a Moses then, and you let your ways be known to him, and by it to all the people of Israel, so you had a Paul and other men of God and a Branham in our days. You are the same eternal God. You do nothing unless you reveal your secret unto your servants, the prophets. We thank you today for this confirmed truth which we experienced and came to know with all our hearts. You didn't pass us by as a stranger. You came and visited us because it has become evening. You have opened unto us the understanding for the scripture. Our eyes were opened, our hearts burned, because you have spoken with us. Faithful Lord, say through me today what you want to say to me and to all of us. Faithful God, I stand here as an empty vessel, without plan, without concept, but I want to be placed into your plan. O Lord, speak today to all of us. Take all criticism. We are just people. Every one of us makes mistakes. The one in this way and the other again in another way. Give us grace to look up together to your throne of grace, to place ourselves under the coverage of your blood, to leave all thoughts behind which could hinder us on the way. Dear Lord, may this be a gathering with you. Be thou in our midst. You see my exhausted physical condition, but I thank you that you are present. Hallelujah. I thank you that you will speak, that you will save, that you will heal, that you will deliver, that you will give clarity, that you will bless, for you are the same today. You are alive. For this we thank you with all our hearts. And we place this gathering consciously under the coverage of your blood and under the leading of your Holy Spirit. Be thou in our midst. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thou art worthy. To receive praise and honor, glory and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Only believe. You may be seated. I warmly welcome everyone and I wish you God's blessing, especially those who are probably for the first time here. May God bless you and may He open the understanding. We are only concerned about one matter, and this is the matter of God. We have no own plan, no own program. We have only one Bible as God's Word being the measuring rod. And this Bible we don't interpret, but we believe as it is written. We believe as the Scripture has said. And we know that God watches over His Word to fulfill it. I probably have to mention the incidents of last Wednesday. We had a funeral in Salzburg. A young brother who dedicated his life to the Lord a couple of months ago suddenly died in South America, nearby La Paz. He had a urge to help a friend who lives there. He wanted to bring him back and also to lead him onto the way of the Lord. And by it, he passed over from time into eternity. The family Brandstetter, which I know for many years, was hit by a heavy blow by it. And time and again we asked ourselves, or I at least, why a young man at the age of 29 years suddenly has to be taken to the other side. But when I saw the crowd at the funeral, it became clear to me, this crowd would have never heard the gospel in their lives. We have had already funerals, I think here, on the passing of our beloved brother Parzell, the passing of Sister Elsina, on the passing of Brother Furrer, everywhere where many people, especially also with Brother Furrer, as we've seen it. But I think on Wednesday there were more than 1,000 people. One could almost not believe it, what I saw before me. And you all know, we are non-denominational, whether people are Catholic, Lutheran, Reformed, Baptists, or whatever they might be. They can nothing for it. They were born into a belief. Since generations, it goes on like it. But in my heart, I felt such a compassion with all these people. And I think it was a funeral that lasted the longest, a whole hour. I could not stop. The word came and came and came. I saw some, they looked on their watch. I thought, go ahead, it doesn't bother me. This is the occasion to hear the word of the Lord. And at the end, it must have been the lady, probably from the funeral institute, I don't know. She came towards me and grabbed my hands and shook them and said, this we have never heard in our life, and starts to cry. And do you know what she said? I hope it will not be fulfilled. But she said, hopefully we will soon hear again such a sermon. But that would mean that somebody must die again, and let this be far from it. But I just wanted to say this as a testimony. We ask ourselves, why? And suddenly, tears roll down, people are spoken to, and I'm sure there will be an echo of this Wednesday which we could experience there together. Also here, as the church, we want to express our condolences to the family Brandstetter. I think we all agree with this. After all, we are all a great family of God. Every time when a man is taken, and I can still remember the last Saturday in October, this young man became a believer and he was baptized. There was joy, he was singing, and now he is no more. But we will see him again in glory. Blessed are we if we are ready to meet the Lord. Every day we should ask ourselves the question, not in unbelief, but as a self-examination, Lord, if I would be called today, am I ready to meet you? May God give us really the grace to it and help us. Then I don't want to miss to thank all of you who you participated on the last Sunday in December in our love feast. May God reward you and may He bless you richly. Now, before we go into the Word, I would like to say something which most surely know all of them who watch the news. Exactly 2 weeks ago, in our public media, which shocked me very much, it was announced that the two German bishops, the Protestant bishops from Western Germany and from Eastern Germany, they will give a common declaration that Luther was wrong when he called the Pope as the Antichrist. All this shall be taken back in a common declaration. And the Pope, from his side, he already promised that he will give the absolution and then all is well again. When I heard this, it came in the 8 o'clock news on Sunday morning, right after the usual news. It came in the church news. And I thought by myself, my God, how far everything has come already. We are, of course, in the midst, if not at the end, of the prophecy which was foretold for this last generation. The blood of the martyrs, to whom we owe thanks that we have the free proclamation of the gospel, this blood cries to heaven. May God fill us with even more thankfulness. Where would we be today, and I say this on purpose, if we would not have heard the voice of the Lord in these days? Who of us would have had the solution or the answer to all the open questions? I'm grateful to God, deeply grateful for the ministry of Brother Branham. He was a man who made himself unpopular with millions because they thought he preaches what others don't preach. But he was popular with all them whom God pardoned. And so a division goes through the midst of the people. Some days ago, I looked through church history books. By the way, the first brochure is written. It's now being printed, and perhaps in February or beginning of March, it will be sent out. But dare I say in one book, Dr. Billy Graham, in a Catholic college, there's given to him the doctor title in divinity. There the doctoral cap is put upon him, and he closes his eyes. And the commentator did his part, and he writes underneath, as he watched all this, Billy Graham closed his eyes when this Catholic cleric gave him the doctor title in divinity. What did we hear? Do we criticize? No, we don't criticize, but we have open eyes and ears and hearts. And the man brings it over his lips there in the college and says, the gospel which is preached here, this I preach. How far everything has come. How far. The name of the Lord is used all over. The Bible, pious programs, evangelistic campaigns, church days, and all kinds of things. And where does it lead? Everything returns into the mother's bosom. But there is God's people on earth, a chosen multitude before the foundation of the world. It doesn't return to Rome. It returns to Jerusalem, to the beginning, to the origin, to the holy, pure, precious gospel, which is still today the power of God. We know that the Lord, and probably it's useful for some who don't yet understand why these remarks are being made here. Let me say here the following. You know, Brother Branham comes from a totally Catholic family in which he was born into as a man from Ireland, just in a deep Catholicism. And God could use such a man so that he can feel and understand and the things about which it's all about, that he knows all these things. God is not a respecter of persons. Everyone who comes to him, whether Hindu or Muslim, Christian or Jew, whoever we might be, all who come to him find grace. With God, there's no political or religious party. He is God and has placed all humans on the same foundation. But so much we can see with open eyes that a total deviation took place from the original word, and that the people are misled in a religious way. You will read some things in my exposition, and I'm ready to give my life, not because I have humor, because I actually don't have it, but because I feel urged on my inside to write once and to set forth in what kind of way the course has taken place. And I'm sure that to many the eyes will still be opened and that they will come to believe. Now I would like to come to the word. We read from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And then also from chapter 3. Here it says in Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. As the church, we have a great task received from God, not just that we become believers, but being fitly framed together unto a body, unto a living organism, which God can move, which God can quicken, which He can strengthen, which He can bless and use and can make a blessing, a habitation, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What did Stephen say in his preaching? He quoted the word from the prophet Isaiah, "The heaven is my throne, saith God, and the earth my footstool. What kind of a house is it which you could build unto me?" And then we hear the words, "God does not dwell in a building which is made by the hands of men, but God is alive." What does He want with a dead thing? God builds a church, a living church, a church of the Word, which has a connection with Him and fellowship, being built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Believe me, God didn't send us the end time message to interpret about it and to explain it, but to lead us back into the Holy Scripture and to reveal the hidden mysteries, to finally have a church that is worthy to stand its ground before Him and to be taken up into His glory. As long as we are on earth, human weaknesses and infirmities most certainly will be with some of us, if not with all of us. But let us always focus on the one thing. In this earthly tabernacle which we have here, we have received divine life. We bear a divine treasure in earthy vessels. Our destiny goes far beyond the earthly. And if we recognize this as the overall church, and I ask you today, do we feel most intimately connected with one another? Are we glad when we see each other? Is there the fellowship in the Spirit, the connection with God, and the connection with one another, that one just, if one could, would squeeze the brother or the sister's hand because of the joy that we have one another? I'm grateful for you. We must get grateful for one another, thanking the Lord for His grace, which has become so mightily manifested in our lives, thanking for the salvation, thanking that He spoke to us, that He called us out, illuminated us, taught us. Was there ever a generation as this, in which God's word and counsel was preached to this extent? No, never before. All prophets and apostles spoke. It was written down. They had revelations. Let us remember how Peter, how Paul described the last days. But they didn't live to see all this fulfilled. We live. You and I, we live. And we see what prophets and apostles, what men of God foretold, and what our Lord announced. This we see with our own eyes fulfilled. What did I say to you some time ago, or what did I write in this little writing? That the day will come on which the peace will be beatified, and that East and West will sit at one table. Have you heard it in your news right now? From the 21st to the 24th, Russian and American scientists in the Vatican, they had a meeting. It's later than we probably think. Time is far spent. The coming of the Lord is getting closer and closer. If I hear such things, then the bells are ringing and I notice. And today, or was it yesterday, I looked up the prophet Daniel, and that's literally written. They sit at one table and lie to one another and speak of peace and arm themselves more and more, and they even think to go into space with their weapons. And nevertheless, we know that it must come this way because it is written. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 and 3. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon the woman with child, and they shall not escape. Everything is heading for the end. And we are so grateful that we not only see in what kind of way these things prosper and take shape on, but that we also recognize our part. How often I've tried to say this. Although we could place everything, placing it correctly, with the return of Israel, with all what happens, and we ourselves would not let ourselves be placed, but would just be spectators as other things take place and are put in order. And we would not let ourselves be placed as the body of the Lord, as the last church. Then we would have been spectators, but not on the playground. Beloved, we as the church are on one hand observers of that, what is happening around us, and how God's word is being fulfilled. But this is not the main task. Our main task is therein that we recognize the divine purpose, in fact, of all of the revealed word of God, of the message, asking ourselves, Lord, what do you want to do now? We had the years of teaching. The message was carried into all the world. Then I've tried to put in order what went wrong. I'm now so far that I just want to set forth the plan of God. I cannot influence any man. I cannot help anyone. But God can help everyone. And if His word and His plan and His will is set forth, then His Spirit comes upon all who bow before Him and who have found grace before Him. One has to be able to submit under the mighty hand of God and put oneself under His word. Whoever places himself above his word, it will not go well. Whoever can put himself under it, and we notice it especially when it is about the ministry of Brother Branham. There the people always say, yes, he was a man of God, but you there, you make him a prophet. If I could make somebody a prophet, then I would have done it long time ago. Nobody can do that. But God can separate men from their mother's womb. He can lay his hand on them and can say, like unto the prophet Jeremiah, before you were born, I have chosen you to be a prophet for the nations. Then not the people made him a prophet, but God. And thus we believe it also with a man sent from God in our generation. What people do is doomed to fail. It has no future. Let us now be attentive, having all the events in focus, but asking with all our hearts, O God, show me my place. Let me recognize what you plan with me, with us, with your people, with your church. And let us pray for one another as never before, remembering one another, so that God could connect us more deeply with himself and with one another. From this divine love and connection, God will do the last things in his church, not by bossiness, not by know-it-all, but therein that we all are filled with a divine love and are baptized into the body of the Lord with the Holy Spirit, and so that God can press his seal upon us. This is absolutely necessary, and I think that we will now head for it. The word is the seed, and this word we received, and it is written in Ephesians in chapter 1 verse 13 and in chapter 4 verse 30 that God has sealed the believers who received the word with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of promise. This divine sealing, this absolute, this divine answer, which can never ever be doubted, this we all must experience. And it will become such a certainty for us, and it will be such an experience as our conversion, as the fact that God has revealed himself to us, revealing his name, his word to us. So real will be the experience with God. You all know, in the past, many were baptized with the Spirit, but they walked on their own ways into 100 different directions. Now, at the end, God will have a people whom he shows the direction, a people who recognizes his way, who lets himself be placed into his plan and is ready to do his will. Of our Lord, it is said, behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do thy will, O God. Believe me, how often I ask myself, Lord, am I in the midst of thy will? Am I in the center of thy will? Or am I moving somewhere on the edge? You cannot imagine what kind of responsibility is connected with a divine commission. There are sleepless nights. There are tears. There's a wrestling. There's a supplicating. I always say, Lord, let me those whom you called out through your word, let me lead them on the right way. Give your blessing to it by your grace. It is written, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is, by taking heed according to thy word alone. The word of God has become so precious unto us in this last time. I can say that about myself. I can say it of myself. The word of God has become a new, great and precious to me. But it must happen to all of us. And then we must understand that God has a manifestation place here on earth. And this is the church. We must be penetrated by divine life. We all must have such a part in the services and also take responsibility and pray beforehand, Lord, come to thy right. Give the brother the word. Take over the whole meeting. Have thine own way in our midst. Let your will be done. Let your promises be fulfilled. And may your word be confirmed. If we just wait for a sermon, then only a sermon will come, not more. God will never give us more than we expect. When we come into a service, really just with the one thought to hear a nice sermon, then we will hear a sermon. But if we come and say in our heart, O God, today I want to have an experience with you. Today I want that your word in my life accomplishes that for what you have sent it for. We must carry something in our heart and ponder on it so that God can answer and give. People who would like to be saved must believe that they were already saved when our Lord died on Calvary. People who would like to be healed need just to believe that they were healed when our Redeemer died on the cross of Calvary. He was wounded for our sins. Our chastisement was laid on him so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. Everybody who places this into the future and says, Lord, heal me and Lord, save me, he will pray his whole life and not get any certainty. But in the moment where you and me, where us, by divine revelation, Calvary is shown to us, it is finished. It has taken place. The price was paid. I am redeemed. If already Job, in the Old Testament, in chapter 19, could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and mine eyes shall see God. Although this body is totally decayed, yet I will see God. What was it? He was a prophet with God's revelation in his heart that redemption will come. Biblical faith is in a completed work of God, which happened in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross of Calvary. Have you all seen the film of Brother Branham? By the way, we want to show it on the Pentecostal Saturday. And on Pentecost Sunday, we will then have a meeting. It always becomes to the people a great blessing. but I believe it's also on the film. Dear Brother Branham says, very simple, even if the Savior would stand here and would wear the suit which I have, and you would come to him and you would ask, Lord, heal me. Then he would say, my son, my daughter, this I have done when I died for you on the cross of Calvary. A perfect redemption on which nothing has to be done anymore. Remember the word, probably Hebrews 8, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. From God's point of view, everything took place. Now it must become an experience in you and in me. A confirmation must take place in us that it not only was on Calvary, but that it happened in us. And I believe a hymn writer sings it, whoever sees Jesus on the cross by faith, he is healed in the same hour. No postponing for tomorrow, no waiting, no comforting. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. There is a rest for the people of God. Sometimes believers are still in unrest. Once they have certainty and then they don't. And it goes here and there, up and down. Let it be given to you today by the Lord. As certain as the sun stands in the sky, so I, sinner, have received forgiveness. It is a divine fact, which even the devil and all hell cannot change. Then as it is, namely a finished work of redemption for all who believe. And God called us, and he wants that we are now edified. But this doesn't work until we still doubt. We must, by the grace of God, break through the sound barrier of unbelief and doubt, and must come out on the other side, and must then recognize that we have been placed upon the ground of faith and victory. Temptations will come until the end. This is very natural. But the victory will also accompany us until the end. And Jesus Christ remains high priest and advocate until the last one has come in and the door will be closed and the Savior will call his own home. So long he remains advocate. If something was there, he is there. And if you are accused of the accuser of the brethren, then your and my advocate points to the shed blood which is on the mercy seat. And this blood is the guarantee that you and I, without spot and without wrinkle, dressed in white, will appear before the throne of God. Praise the Lord for it. A wonderful gospel, a full gospel, a gospel of power, of redemption, of deliverance, and of blessing. But it must be received, and we may no longer sit on our ears. Everything must be open, our hearts. We must tune in on our inside. During the preaching, something must go on in each one of us. The Spirit of God must revive everything. And on the word, we must ponder as Mary did. She pondered on every word in her heart. And what did the Lord do? She pondered on the words, and the Lord gave the deed. He let the word become flesh by his grace. The Holy Spirit came upon her. I refer to the promise which was given to her by the angel. In the same way, we hear the word of God, and while we hear it, the thought might still come, how shall it be? I know of no man. Very good. It cannot be better. If the people already spoiled the thing, it's not so good. The Lord likes it best when He can take the people from somewhere who didn't go already through many Christian camps. Everywhere something sticks to it, and the more something sticks still, the more must be put off. People who have been pulled out of the world and are then placed into the kingdom of God, and who then receive the word by faith, then there is a move in the heart, then it burns. The others compare and think, oh, there it was so and here it is so, and they don't know precisely in the moment where are they at, unless that God gives them the grace to it. I'm full of confidence to God that He will take care for it, that not only the calling out, but also the placing together unto a body, and that we can become this living organism, many members, which all carry the same divine life in them, which are deeply joined with one another, and thus stand before God, so that the last promises can find their fulfillment. Here, in chapter 3, it's written, from verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And behind it the word Amen is written. Now unto Him who according to the power that worketh in us. That's what's all about. Paul writes, probably to the Philippians, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Here we read of the power. Now unto Him who according to the power that worketh in us. Is it working in you? Does God's power work in you while you hear the word of God? Are there divine results afterwards? That God's word did not return void, but that it accomplished for what He has sent it for. Here we read, now unto Him, who according to the power that worketh in us. Do you feel it today, dear brother and dear sister, that God's power worketh in you? Could God lift you out from the area of doubt, and could He place you upon the foundation of faith, as the hymn writer sings, standing on higher ground? And then he sings, how blessed I am now, I sit in heavenly places. Already here, we can taste something of the glory of God. Already here, we can receive the love and grace of God and experience what He promised. In us, the power of God shall work. Not only during the sermon, it should continue to have an impact. And then it says, that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Unto Him be the glory in the church. This would be here today. Today, we want to give Him the glory. Today, we want to thank Him. Today, we want to come nigh to him in prayer. According to the scripture, come nigh to me, and then I will come nigh to you. He who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, God will still surprise us. Don't you worry. The boldest imaginations that the best believer can have will be surpassed. They will still be surpassed. It will come from glory to glory, and from clarity to clarity, and from truth to truth, from experience to experience. For God who has started, he will also finish. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Sometimes we should give up. I would have given up a few times. But God has taken the responsibility for me. I have nothing to say at all. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. My life doesn't belong to me. He purchased it. He paid for it. It is written in the prophet Hosea, ye who ye were not my people shall be called sons of the living God. We have read, those who were afar off became them who are nigh. Because God has drawn near to us in Christ, therefore we may also come near to him. Our encounter with God is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this all must acknowledge. One cannot just believe as one likes and then be saved. No, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. Reconciliation is in him who brought it. Redemption in the Redeemer. Blessed is he. As Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. Beloved, although we don't have visions or see with open eyes the glory of God, but yet I'm convinced in our hearts is the glory of God. The light shines at evening time. We could see many things and recognize what was not seen before and what could not be recognized. God loves us. He pardoned us. Now he wants to build us up unto an habitation of God in the Spirit. He wants to flow through all the members in his body with his own life. He wants to put us together and then using us as he planned it. Can you believe that he will do it? I'm convinced of it. I not only hold the Bible in my hands, I carry it in my heart. I believe God. I believe what is written here. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. And on this word, our faith was established. Receive it today and say, Lord, you passed us by with your glory. We have heard you. We have seen you. Our hearts burned when you spoke with us. You have given us grace to be part of them who in this crazy and confused generation can be gathered in your presence to hear your word. While millions, yes, billions, bypass what God is doing. It's a small number whom he called out and pardoned, who may hear what the Spirit says now to the churches, who received revelation by revelation. And if we would set up a list of that what God has done and spoken and revealed, it would be a long list. To our God be the glory for it throughout all eternity. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Maybe some brothers feel urged to thank the Lord. Hallelujah. God is present. The Lord is nigh to us. As all heads are bowed and we close our eyes and remain in prayer before God, let me give the call to come to the Lord, to receive Him, to become His possession. It is written in John 5, verse 24, that such a person then crossed from death into life. As we remain in reverence and in silence before God and being fully aware of His presence, I know the Lord is here. I know He spoke with us. I know He calls. He calls. As the heads are bowed and the eyes closed, if somebody wants to be taken into this prayer, raise briefly your hand. We would like to pray with you. The Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, You have spoken with us. We have heard Your voice. And we come to You. And whoever comes to You, You will in no wise cast out. You receive him. You accept him. And You say, today salvation was given to you. O Lord, whoever receives you, the salvation of God is given to him. Faithful Savior, I thank you for your word, for your grace, for your Spirit who is so mightily at work. Dear Lord, although I'm not able to give everything in an order as I would like to do it, yet You are more than able to put everything in an order, to reveal it, to bring it into the right context. Savior, build Your church. Lord, build it. Put her together by Your Spirit as one heart and one soul. Oh, we want to walk forward by faith. Faithful Lord, have mercy on us. Bless all who have raised their hands. Also those who probably did not have the courage. We all need You. Dear Lord, come to meet us. Help us. Receive us, save, deliver, heal, bless. Yes, I thank You. You saved, You healed, You have delivered, You have blessed. Thy work is a complete work. Worship and honor to Your name. Let it be manifested shortly that we are Your people and that You are our God. Hallelujah. Oh, not for our sakes. No, my God. May our name be trodden in the dirt if only Your name is exalted and glorified. Hallelujah. I proclaim Thy victory, Almighty God. Manifest Thyself in a mighty way amidst your people, as it is worthy for you. Hallelujah. Oh my God, what is going on in our hearts? Hallelujah. You have touched us. Oh, worship and honor, praise and glory be to your wonderful name. You didn't speak to our heads, but to our hearts. And you let your word become a revelation to us. Lord, how great art thou, how wonderful, how faithful. In all your goodness, you pass before us, and we are safe in the rock of ages, in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise, thanks, and glory, and worship to your name, now and forever. Amen. Amen.